Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message from Vernell J.R. Samuel. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com. All right. Can we all stand and welcome the pastor of Awesome Church as we continue in our series? He's going to come and give us a word. Come on. Vernell J.R. Samuel.
Come on. You guys can do better than that. Come on. Come on. We can do better than that. Come on, she got it. Come on. Let's make some Holy Ghost noise in here. Come on. Because the word of God is about to come. Look at somebody next to you and say, get ready. Get ready for another encounter. Look at somebody else, say, get ready for another encounter. The Lord has us in a series where we're talking about the presence of God. Has anybody been cultivating the presence of God in their lives? Anybody been saturating their house and their jobs with the atmosphere? We talked about last week how we're carrying that presence. New covenant Christianity is all about knowing this one thing. If you don't know this one thing about the presence of God, you have a Christianity that will seem to have failed you. That many Christians walk around blaming God because they're saying, God, I don't see in your word. I mean, I see in your word one thing, but I'm seeing another thing in my life. Anybody ever been there? I heard one, I see the promises in the book, but then I don't see the manifestation of those promises in my life. So what's up with that? What's up with that? Anybody been there? Come on, believers. Listen. Let me show you something. I want you guys to lift up both hands unto Jesus. The Lord has given me a key for you today. Jesus told Peter, hold on, don't even play Marcus. Jesus told Peter this. He said, I will give you the what? Keys of the kingdom. He said he's going to give you the kingdom, but he said, I'm going to give you the keys. If I said, hey, I'm going to give you keys to a new car, and you don't use those keys to access that car, I'm not to blame. You're the one to blame if you never get into that car. If I give you keys to a new house and say, hey, take it, it's yours. Before you get access to the house, what do you got to do? Use the keys to get in there. So God said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. He didn't say, I'm giving you the kingdom. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. So if you're not interested in the keys, you're not interested in receiving the kingdom. Amen. What are keys? Keys give you access. Keys are a means to enter into something, church. Jesus said, you are the church, and I'm giving you keys. So if you're not interested in the keys, you're not interested in receiving the kingdom. If not interested in the keys, you're not interested in miracles. If you're not interested in keys, you're not interested in breakthrough. If you're not interested in the keys, you're not interested in the manifest presence of God. Your only way you're going to see the kingdom come, church, is if you use the keys. The keys. Say, I want my keys. I'm going to use them too. Lift up both hands. Father, our hands are raised to you today because we want our keys. Jesus came to restore the keys back to us. Adam lost those keys in the garden, but now we got access again. And Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus that the inheritance, the right we have to access your kingdom will be released, will be unlocked to us. The gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Father, it's time for us to loose miracles. It's time for us to loose provision. It's time for us to loose loose healing. It's time for us to loose. Come on, what do you need to loose right now? Father, we declare that in this atmosphere, breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough is happening all around us because we are getting ready to use those keys that you gave us. It's time for us to step in to this new place called grace and truth. It's time for us to experience your glory, the kingdom on earth. It's at hand. It's been at hand for too long. Now it's time to be made manifest. And we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to clap both hands and give God your loudest praise right now. Come on. Say hallelujah. Come on. Keys represent authority. You got authority today. You have authority in the kingdom. Woo, Salamaya. You got authority in your hand. Come on. You got power in your hand. It's the keys of the kingdom. Come on. Come on. It's your personal possession. It's a personal possession. It's a personal possession. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Whoa, Sabaya. The Bible says, look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews. I want you guys to stand. Keep standing. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I want you to jump all the way down to the end. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Marlon, you have it? Somebody has it. Roop, you got it? Hope you have it.
Yes, sir.
Read. Rupert's Bible is nice and colorful.
Always.
I want you to look at verse 26 and read to 28.
Okay. Verse 26 reads,
yes.
Whose voice then shook the earth?
Yeah.
But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, ye yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
Hallelujah. Yes. Did you notice that verse? He said, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom, that what? What about it? Cannot be shaken. A kingdom which cannot be shaken. Are you in the kingdom today? Are you in the kingdom of God? What signifies that you're in the kingdom is that when everything else in this world is shaking, you're not. When everybody else in the world is trembling with fear and uncertainty about the times we're living in, if you are actively receiving the kingdom, you won't be shaken with that kingdom.
Amen. Amen.
People are shaking up right now because there was a shooting at a church in South Carolina, and people are crippled with fear. Some people say, I'm not going to church Sunday because I don't know what's going to happen. But listen, if you're in the kingdom of God, you will not be shaken. And the Bible says, the word of God, there is going to be a shaking in these days. Because the shaking is going to remove that which is not of his. Because the only thing that's going to stand in the end is the kingdom of God. Anything that's not of the kingdom will be shaken and be removed.
Amen.
So if I was you, I would get ready to seek the kingdom first. Because I know everything else will be added to me. And everything that needs to be subtracted from me will be shaken and removed. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm seeking the kingdom. Are you? Come on, we are seeking the kingdom. And we are receiving it. Now, the writer tells us, how do we receive the kingdom? What's this? The New King James says, let us have grace. Another translation actually says, let us be grateful. Or let us be thankful. So he tells us, thank thanksgiving or being thankful, thankfulness, and what else? By which we may serve God. Some translation says worship God. So we receive the kingdom of God through thanksgiving and worship. By giving God thanks, by praise, thanksgiving, we receive the kingdom. We're receiving the kingdom. And through worship, by our service to God with reverence and godly fear. Amen. You may have your seats. Because when we're talking about the lifestyle of presence, we were talking about how as believers, we are carriers of the presence. We are containers, if you want to say, of the glory of God. We are vessels of the Spirit of God. The Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That we are temples, that He dwells in us, God lives in us. And wherever God is, heaven is. Wherever God is, heaven is. Amen. So if God lives in us, dwells within us, dwells among us, then heaven is all around us. Amen. Jesus proved that because wherever Jesus went, He brought the kingdom to earth. He made things that didn't line up to heaven's realities. He brought it into a conjunction, right? He brought it into congruency. He brought it into alignment. He even told us, how should we pray? We should pray that things should be in earth as it is in heaven. So that's why we got keys, because our responsibility is to unlock heaven's realities in the earth. Romans 10:17 tells us this: the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink only, but it's in righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Spirit. So the kingdom of God is not only about your meat and drink. It's not only about the food you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. Many people reduce their prayer lives just only to what I'm going to eat or drink. Provision. He said the kingdom of God is not only about getting your needs met, church. That's a part of it. But what else? It's about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about joy, right? In other words, when we are seeking the kingdom, we're seeking God's righteousness. We're seeking that the things that are out of order in this world, the things that are wrong, will be made right by Him. Things that are wrong in your life right now, the righteousness of God has come to make it right. How about peace? Where there's no peace in your life or around you, God says, I'm giving you authority to bring that peace with you. Peace. Everybody say peace. We were talking about this yesterday at our men's meeting, that the word disease is a joint word where you see dis-ease or where there's a lack of peace. There's a dis-ease. What causes diseases in most cases is a lack of peace in our lives that manifests in our body in the form of a disease. So if we're going to learn how to stay free from sickness and disease, we got to learn how to live in peace. Doctors can tell you most major diseases are all linked to stress, anxiety, fear, people that are shaken. But if we're in the kingdom, we're not shaken, church. We can be free from disease. How about joy? Joy. Everybody say joy. Joy is in the kingdom. That where heaven is, there's joy. If we want to see joy in our homes, joy is in our family, depression off of our lives, anxiety and worry off of our lives, it's all in the kingdom. And so if we are walking as heirs, recipients of the kingdom, those who are receiving the kingdom, these realities will be the norm for our lives. But the Bible makes it very clear. How do we receive, church? How do we receive from heaven? Thanksgiving and worship. Thanksgiving and worship. Thanksgiving and worship. What I want to do for the next few minutes, I want to teach on the power of praise. I want to talk to you about the breakthrough power of praise, the miracle working power of praise, the heaven releasing power of praise. That if you're going to live as a powerful Christian, this is probably one of the most important things I'm going to tell you, is about how to develop a lifestyle of praise.
Amen.
Praise. Is your praise just limited to the 2 hours that you're here in church?
No.
Or is there a praise on your lips everywhere you go? Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Verse 26. See, walking in the presence of God doesn't mean you'll be absent of problems. Being a carrier of the presence doesn't mean you're not going to run into some trouble. So let me just let you know that now. Because we see from the beginning, people carrying the presence of God, the Israelites walking with the presence of God, and then get ambushed by armies. Where Moses, following the presence of God, gets led to a Red Sea, an entire body of water that he can't pass. We see the people of Israel being led by the presence and go up against an entire wall in Jericho that they can't get around. We see the presence of God leading people into trouble all throughout the Bible. So why should I follow the presence? Why would I let the presence of God lead me into trouble? Come on. You heard her? Because if he can bring me to it, he's going to take me through it. See, whether you follow him or not, you're going to run into problems.
Amen.
You're going to follow. Whether you're with him or not, there's trouble coming. And the Bible says it's through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom. Right? So we got to go through stuff in order for us to actually manifest the kingdom, to see the glory of God. Remember that guy was sick? And he said, who sinned, him or his father? Jesus was like, no, he's not sick, but this sickness is unto the glory of God. Because this situation is going to actually help reveal the glory of God. It's going to actually cause me to manifest the kingdom. If he wasn't sick, I couldn't prove the kingdom to you. Come on. If you don't got some problems are simply the platform for the glory of God. Because it's in our problems when he comes in and he makes a way out of nowhere, we give him the praise. We give him the glory. All right? I want to change your perspective for a little while, and I want you to look at your problems as not being evil. Your problems are not evil. I want you to think about all the problems you got going on right now in your life. And I want you to realize that today, your problems are not evil. Say that with me. Say, my problems are not evil. My problems are a platform for the glory of God to be revealed in my life. Come on. Problems are practice. They're the practice ground and the revealing ground of the glory of God. Look at Acts 20. You guys are there. What did I say, Acts 20? Acts 16. Acts 16. For the sake of time, go to verse 26. Acts 16, 26. Watch this. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. Look at verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns or praises to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great shaking, earthquake, so that the very foundations of that which was holding them captive were shaken. And at once and immediately, all the doors were opened. Here it is, Paul and Silas. They were preaching, not even preaching. They were somewhere, and Paul cast out a demon out of a little girl who was operating out of the spirit of divination. She was a fortune teller, and she was making the people that she worked for profitable. He cast out the spirit from the little girl, and the people arrested him because their hope of riches and gain were ruined. All right? So she was a fortune teller, Miss Cleo, or one of them. And she was making a lot of money off of people. But he cast out the spirit that was working on that girl, and they arrested him. He said that he's troubling our city. He's stirring things up. So here he is. He's in jail for bringing the kingdom, for carrying the presence. He's arrested. And in prison, Paul and Silas decided to do two things. What did they decide to do? Pray and worship. Praise and worship. They praised God. They sang songs to God in the prison. In prison, they sang and worshiped God. And as a result of their praise, there was an earthquake. The planet shaked so that the foundations of the prisons were removed or shaken up. And immediately, there was a door-opening miracle, a chain-breaking miracle in the midst of the prison when Paul and Silas simply began to pray and sing praises to God. Is it possible that there is something more powerful in the praises that we sing to God that we are missing out on? So much so that in verse 27, the Bible tells us that the keeper of the prison was awakened from his sleep. He saw all the prison doors open, that they all fled, and he was getting ready to kill himself. And then Paul had the ability to preach Christ to him, and he and his household were saved. But notice, Paul was in prison. Paul was not in a place of convenience when he decided to praise God. You see, we delight in his name when things are going good. But when things start going rough, do we resolve to praise God even more? Because it was at that midnight hour something supernatural happened. I don't know what hour you're in right now. I don't know how dark things look for you right now. But the Lord told me to tell you today that if you begin to devote your life to praise and thanksgiving, he is going to release a planet-shaking, door-opening, prison-opening anointing through you, through your praise. Amen. You see, the difference between prayer and praise. The Bible says David prayed 3 times, but he praised 5 times a day. He prayed 3 times a day, but he praised 5 times, which means that he praised more than he prayed. Praise was more important to David than prayer. When you pray, the Bible says in Revelation that angels take your prayer and they put them into this bowl somewhere in heaven. I never saw it before, but it's in the Bible. They take your prayers and they put it in a bowl, and then it goes to God as a sweet-smelling savor. But when you praise, your praise goes directly to God. Prayers evoke angelic assistance. Praise evokes divine intervention. That God immediately responds to your praise. Amen. See, when you pray, you give God something else to do. When you praise, it's something God can enjoy. You got another prayer request going, okay? When I praise, I'm just telling God, I'm celebrating who he is. I'm glorifying who he is. It's funny, Ryan kept talking about Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, the Bible tells us the secret to how Abraham held on for so long for his miracle child. Let's look at it, Romans 4. How did Abraham find a way to stay in faith for all those years until he got his breakthrough? Romans 4, verse 20. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised him, he was able to also perform it. Abraham remained strong in faith by giving praise to God, by giving glory to God. You see, the minute you stop praising God, you begin to doubt God. You know, John, Paul and Silas were in prison. They got out. John the Baptist got in prison. He never made it out. If you read the story closely, John the Baptist was in prison, and he began to ask his disciples, say, hey, can you go and ask Jesus, is he the one? Or should we look for another? The same John the Baptist who preached in the wilderness to prepare the way for the Lord, when he got in prison, he didn't praise. He began to doubt. And he asked the disciples, go find out if Jesus is the one. Jesus said, go tell John that the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the cripples are being healed, the good news is being preached to the poor. And you know what happened? He went back and they told him. But in that same prison, John got beheaded. He was beheaded. I believe he didn't make it out of that prison because he fell in unbelief, because he doubted the promise of God. You see, to remain in praise, praise strengthens your faith, because when you're in praising, you're remembering the goodness of God. You're remembering his promises. When I praise God, I'm remembering what he's done for me. And if I remember what he's done for me, I'm also thereby qualifying for the next thing he's going to do for me. Hallelujah. Supernatural activity follows the life of a praiser. Jesus was a praiser. He was so much of a praiser that when thousands of people followed him in the wilderness to hear him preach, and they had no food to feed the people, he took a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And the first thing Jesus did when he took it up, the Bible says he gave thanks. He gave thanks. He praised God. He blessed God for what he had, the little that he had. And in thanking God for the little that he had, he then distributed it, and God multiplied the little that he had to feed 5,000, not including men and women and children. Which means praise has the ability to multiply things in our lives. You see, if Jesus wasn't a praiser, that wouldn't have been his first thought. Why would I give thanks for what's not enough? Come on. I don't have enough resources. Why would I give thanks? I don't got enough money to pay my bills. What am I giving thanks for? What I have is not enough to cover these needs. So what am I giving thanks for? Jesus, on the other hand, took what he had, gave thanks, and God multiplied it. Hallelujah. You better start giving him thanks. Because your thanksgiving sets you up for God to give you more. You see, all right, so let me give you some details. Because Jesus gave thanks before he raised the dead. He saw Lazarus and he said, Lord, I thank you. You always hear me when I pray. Then Lazarus was risen from the dead. Thanksgiving is what? Appreciating God for what he has done. Thanksgiving is giving God thanks or appreciating him for what he has already done, right? I'm going to help give you some basic understanding of what we're saying. The Bible tells us in Psalm 100, verse 4, we will enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. All right? And so picture this. The Bible says we enter into his presence, or we enter into his gates, the gates of his presence, through thanksgiving. There's no other way to enter in to his presence. There's no other way to enter into the presence. If you try to complain your way into the presence of God, you ain't getting nowhere. Amen. Complaining does not attract or draw or evoke the presence of God to manifest in your life. But thanksgiving does. This goes beyond good manners. We teach kids to have manners to say thank you. But thank you is the password into the presence of God. Imagine God's presence is a gated community. And if you're going to enter in, you have to say thank you. So we come into his gates with thanksgiving, saying thanks, right? Gates are access points, right? Gates protect something, but they're also access points. We enter in through gates. And so God's presence has a gate. And if we're going to get in there and evoke his presence in our lives, we have to say thanks, right? And the word thanksgiving, the word praise, and the word bless, they all have the same root word. They all come from the same word in the Hebrew. It's the word to eulogize, to speak highly of, to speak well of. Okay? So we all know how to praise. We all know how to praise. When you talk about your favorite show on TV or your favorite shoe or your favorite song or whatever it is that's your favorite and you talk highly of it, your favorite food, that's your praise. Right? How many people know we're all created to praise and we're all created to worship? We all do it. We do it all the time. The question is, what are we praising? When I praise God, when I give him thanks, when I bless him, I'm saying all the same thing. I'm speaking highly of who he is and what he has done for me. Amen? Amen? Amen. So thanksgiving it should be a natural response to what's been given. So one of the issues with praise and thanksgiving for many people is we forget what he's done for us. John the Baptist forgot. The person he made the way for, he paved the way for, was the Messiah when he got into a tight spot. The battle for us is, when we get into our battles and our tough spots, will we remember the Lord, all right? Will we remember to praise him and give him what he's due? Let me show you another verse. So you got Psalm, you got wrote that down, Psalm, what is that? Psalm 100. Verse 4, I said praise is the natural response to grace. When someone's given you something, you say thank you, right? What are the grounds that we have to praise God on? What are the things that he's done for us that we can praise him for, that we can say thank you for? In short, there are three grounds that we all have to praise God for. Let me give you three reasons why you should never, ever wonder if you can praise God. Number one, you can praise God for creation. You can praise God, number two, for provision. And you can praise God for redemption, salvation. These are three grounds we all have to praise God on. Okay? So when I'm talking about creation, I'm speaking about the creative power of God that includes you and I. that God created us. And the Bible says in Psalm 150 that everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Which means that the only thing I need to praise God is breath. He didn't say everybody that got a new job, praise the Lord. He didn't say everybody that got a car, praise the Lord. Everybody that got the house they want or the husband they want, praise the Lord. Everybody that has breath, praise the Lord. Do you have breath today? Amen. Then you got a reason to praise God. Come on, I can't hear you. You got a reason to praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So the fact that we have breath is grounds that qualifies me to praise him. That's why everybody can praise. We talk about his creation. We don't have time to look at that. But Romans 1:20 tells us that all of his invisible attributes are discovered in creation. When you look at the things that we can't do as humans, and we look at what God can do, we begin to see who he is. Right, King? When you think about the things that God has created, let's think about sky, right? Sciences up to this day cannot recreate a sky. Right? How about a mountain? Scientists, engineers still can't create mountains. How about continents? Scientists, researchers still can't create continents. Constellations, the stars. No one can recreate that. When you look at the things that God created that we can't create, plants, trees, we can't create those things. Dirt, we can't create that. How about each other? We can't create each other. So where do we come from? A creator. But Romans 1:20 tells us that if you forget about the creator and you begin to focus on the created, you become reprobate in your mind. You begin to malfunction because you no longer attribute praise and worship where it belongs. See, that's the problem with the city life we live in. Because all we see around us most of the times are man-made things. We see a car that somebody made. We see houses that somebody else made. We see all these buildings, right? We see man-made objects. But the Bible tells us, David said, I won't put my trust in the chariots of men. I'm going to put my trust in the name of the Lord. Because when I see the things that God created and that man can't create, then I recognize his sovereignty, his divinity, his ability that supersedes the natural. So I step into a supernatural understanding of life when I maintain a life of praise. Are you following me? Provision, the things that God has blessed you with. What has he done for you? What has he given you? Those are all grounds to praise him. Redemption, what did he accomplish for us at the cross? What did Jesus do for us? The finished work, his death, his burial, his resurrection, all the benefits and blessings of the new covenant gives us grounds to praise him right now. We can break out in praise at any moment. Remember who he is, how good he is. Look at Psalm 92. I'm giving you a lot of verses, but I'm flowing. Is that right? Look at Psalm 92. I like this. I love this verse right here. Lord, give me a song from it this morning. Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. The Bible says that when we praise God, when we sing songs or we give thanks to God, it's a good thing, right? And then he tells us that when we sing songs or we praise him, we're supposed to be declaring his loving kindness and his faithfulness. It's talking about who he is. So we see it for example, in 2 Chronicles, I believe chapter 6 or chapter 5, when Solomon was when they were getting the temple made, prepared. And they began to sing the song, "The Lord is good and his mercy endured forever." That the Bible says the glory of God began to fill that temple until the ministers could no longer minister. They evoked the manifest presence of God. They evoked divine intervention and attention in their lives as they began to celebrate the loving kindness of God and his faithfulness. His faithfulness. Who he is. One of the problems of praise, you know, for praise is that it doesn't have anything to do with us. And so it doesn't grab our attention. Because praise, thanksgiving, and worship is about him, not about me. See, even when I'm praying, it's still about me. But when I give him praise, it's all about him. Right? If I can take the time to forget about my needs and just think about the God who created all things, just maybe something will lift off of me. The Bible says, let us magnify the Lord. When I magnify something, what am I doing? I'm not making the object bigger. My view of what I'm looking at gets bigger. I don't make God bigger when I magnify him. His view becomes bigger in my heart, and that problem, that circumstance that was in the way, gets a lot smaller to me. Almost inconsiderate. I don't even want to pay any attention anymore. Because when we magnify the Lord, we intensify our focus on him. And when that happens, we are also intensifying the entrance of the light of his glory in our lives. We get to see his presence and power manifest in our affairs when we give him praise. Exodus 15, verse 6 tells us, Exodus 15, I want to teach until praise erupts out of you. So you can't contain it. Exodus. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. You know, the Bible says that God is fearful in praises, doing wonders. So how do we see the fearfulness of God demonstrated, the might of God, the power of God in our lives? He's fearful how? In praises, doing wonders. So if you want to see God do wonders in your life, you have to engage him in praise. If you want to see wonders, miracles, you see some of the wonders God did for the people of Israel was, for example, Israel in 2 Chronicles 20, we're getting ambushed by three different armies, three different nations. Jehoshaphat goes and he prays and asks the Lord for a miracle. The Bible says Jehaziel, a prophet in their midst, gets up and says this: "This battle is not yours. It's the Lord's." Amen. Jehoshaphat comes back and tells the people, believe in God and believe his prophets. You're going to prosper. You're going to win. Amen. And then what God told them to do? Get the trumpeters and the singers. And they all began to what? Praise God. And as they praise God, the Bible says God sent an ambush and all three of those armies killed themselves. Listen, every enemy that's trying to ambush you today is going to be dissolved and destroyed by the presence of God as you praise him. Amen. The key to the miraculous is praise. The key to the supernatural power of God is praise. I see many people want to worship God today, and they skip over the praise. Today, everyone likes to worship. Worship is like the new buzzword in church. Let's worship God. But there's a difference. Because when I praise, I'm celebrating and I'm talking about God. I'm celebrating about God and talking about who he is. But worship is when I'm talking to God. It's when my worship now becomes direct, intimate connection. I don't get into a realm of worship until I get into a deep realm of praise. Praise takes me to worship. There's a progression there, right? We go into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. But then we want to get from out of the courts and we want to get into that holy place. But I can't get to that holy place if I skip out the praise and thanksgiving. So if you want deep worship, you got to get high praise. Amen? So he's fearful in praises. He's doing wonders in our midst. Look at Psalm 67. I'm almost done. Psalm 67 also tells us this. Look at this. Psalm chapter 67. Jump down to verse 6 or something like that. I'll figure it out. Yeah, go back two verses. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah, verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. Then the earth shall yield her increase. All right, so when is the earth going to yield her increase to you? After you praise. Whatever you've sown, whatever seed you've sown in the ground that you've been praying to see the harvest of, I'm going to ask you to switch over from prayer to praise. And as you praise, that seed is going to release a harvest in your life. It's not going to come. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God with thanksgiving. So you've been doing the first and second part. Now it's time to do the third part. Thanksgiving and praise. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for that praise to erupt out of you. You know, something about thanksgiving is this. Marlon. Hold this. If Marlon gives me this phone and I say nothing to him, does he know I'm thankful?
No.
But I am. But I'm thankful. It's in my heart. Right? You see, in order for me to give praise and thanksgiving, I have to say something. I have to say something. Praise is audible. I got to say something. The Bible says, bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall what? Be continually where? In my mouth. I got to say something. Amen. Gratefulness that's not expressed is not gratefulness.
Amen. Amen.
Come on. And if you're too ashamed to praise him, then you're probably going to be too ashamed for the victory.
Amen.
The Bible says that David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. And he danced until his clothes came off. 1 Chronicles 15.
Amen.
His wife is up in the window looking down at him. Said, look at the king. Taunting him, making mockery, because he was so extravagant in his praise. I can imagine David saying inside the house, woman, you don't know. You weren't there when I was in the cave and your own daddy tried to kill me. You didn't see the ambushes that were plotting on my life, and God spared me from it. So don't rain on my praise.
Amen.
Don't tell me how. See, listen to it. Extravagance intimidates the religious.
Amen.
Because people say, hey, you shouldn't, you don't, God don't, it doesn't take all that to praise God. And you know what happened to her as a result of that? The Bible says she became barren for the rest of her life. She could no longer give birth because she chose to mock the praise that David was giving God. You don't know why some people praise. You don't know what God brought them from.
Amen.
Come on. What they've been through, what he's brought them through. But you know what I think about Jesus and what he's been through for us? What Jesus endured on the cross for us, that was an extravagant death. That was a costly experience. Everything that he had, he gave to us. So if I think about him and all he's done for me, how can I match that type of sacrifice unless I give him a sacrifice of praise of my own?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I said a sacrifice of praise. Not a convenient type of praise. Not a praise that doesn't cost you nothing. I'm talking about a praise that's one step beyond convenience. Some of you, we like the golf claps. And we praise and we say, oh God, thank you, Jesus. You've been so good. David was not too dignified to even dance out of his clothes. No wonder God said, I'll give you my kingdom. David received the kingdom because he practiced praise and worship. Hallelujah. I'm trying to let you know the kingdom of God is going to be released to you, but it's going to be released to you when you use your keys of praise and worship. That miracle breakthrough you're looking for is going to be released to you when you release that praise that's bottled up on the inside of you. Because I can't give you what's next if you can't give me praise for what I've already done. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, praise is in order. The Bible says I've ordained praise in the mouth of babes. Some translations say strength because praise and strength are the same thing. You want to be strong in faith. You want to be a praiser. Hallelujah. Come on, the kids are out of the mouth of babes. Come on. Say hallelujah. Come on. Can I give you two more verses? Two more verses. How about this? Look at, quickly. Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull which has horns and hooves. Right? The Bible says that when we give God praise, it's better than any sacrifice we can give him. Better than anything else you can try to offer God. You give him praise, you give him worship. That satisfies him more than anything else.
Amen.
He said, let us bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. I'm going to give you these three things that I'm done. When we praise. When we praise, look at what happens. Psalm 68, verse 1 says this. Let God arise and let our enemies be scattered. Let God arise in your life. And let your enemies be scattered. It goes back to what the Bible says. He's fearful in praises, right? So the enemy is only afraid of you when you are a praiser. Because when you are a praiser, you're causing God to arise and the enemy scatters. You evoke no fear in the enemy's heart if you don't praise your God. I praise him. I magnify him. He shows up and my enemies run away. I declare every enemy that's been troubling you this past year is about to scatter after you release your praise to him. Come on. Every enemy spirit that's been trying to produce mockery, a mockery in your life, will scatter after today in the name of Jesus. Come on. I dare you, if you release your praise, every enemy... Every enemy.